Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of the most exciting and relevant topics in your entire GCSE chemistry course. Topic C6, Global Challenges. This is the topic where chemistry stops being just equations on a page and becomes the story of how we feed the world, power our homes, protect our planet, and build the materials of the future. In this episode, we're going to cover everything you need to know for your exam: the Haber process, metal extraction, organic chemistry, the atmosphere, and climate change. I'll walk you through the key concepts clearly, share the exam tips that examiners actually look for, test you with a quick-fire quiz, and leave you with a punchy summary you can carry into the exam hall. So grab your revision notes, maybe a highlighter, and let's get started. This is going to be a good one. Let's start with metal extraction because it's a topic that builds beautifully on what you learned earlier about the reactivity series. The key principle is this: the more reactive a metal, the harder it is to extract. Metals low in the reactivity series, like gold and silver, are found native in the ground, meaning they don't need extracting at all. Metals in the middle, like iron and zinc, are extracted by reduction with carbon in a blast furnace. But metals high in the reactivity series, aluminum and sodium, are so reactive that carbon can't reduce them. These require electrolysis. Now, electrolysis is energy intensive and expensive, which is why aluminum costs more to produce than iron. Examiners love asking you to justify why a particular method is used, so always link your answer back to the reactivity series. If a metal is above carbon in the series, say electrolysis. If it's below, say reduction with carbon. There are also two emerging extraction methods worth knowing: bioleaching and phytoextraction. Bioleaching uses bacteria to extract copper from low-grade ores. The bacteria produce a leachate solution containing copper ions, which is then processed. Phytoextraction uses plants that absorb metal ions through their roots. The plants are then harvested and burned, and the ash contains a concentrated metal compound. Both methods are slower than traditional mining, but are more sustainable and less damaging to the environment. Now let's talk about the Haber process. And this is a topic where understanding the trade-offs will earn you marks that many candidates miss. The Haber process makes ammonia from nitrogen and hydrogen. Crucially, this is a reversible reaction. The conditions used industrially are 450 degrees Celsius, 200 atmospheres of pressure, and an iron catalyst. Here's where the thinking gets interesting. Higher temperature increases the rate of reaction, molecules move faster, more successful collisions happen. But because the forward reaction is exothermic, it releases heat, Le Chatelier's principle tells us that increasing temperature shifts the equilibrium to the left, reducing the yield of ammonia. So 450 degrees Celsius is a compromise. Fast enough to be economical, but not so hot that yield collapses. Higher pressure favors the forward reaction because there are 4 moles of gas on the left, but only 2 on the right. So high pressure shifts equilibrium to the side with fewer moles of gas, increasing yield. But very high pressures are expensive to maintain and create safety risks. 200 atmospheres is again a compromise. The iron catalyst doesn't change the equilibrium position or the yield. It simply speeds up how quickly equilibrium is reached. This is a classic exam trap. Candidates often say the catalyst increases yield. It does not. It only increases rate. Moving on to organic chemistry, this is an area where many candidates lose marks simply because they haven't practiced drawing and naming compounds. Organic chemistry is the chemistry of carbon-containing compounds. The key homologous series you need to know are alkanes, alkenes, alcohols, and carboxylic acids. Alkanes have the general formula, CnH2n+2. They're saturated, all single bonds, and relatively unreactive. Methane, ethane, propane, butane. They're the main components of natural gas and petroleum fractions. Alkenes have the general formula CnH2n. They're unsaturated. They contain a carbon-to-carbon double bond. This double bond makes them much more reactive. The test for an alkene is bromine water. Alkenes decolorize bromine water from orange to colorless because of an addition reaction across the double bond. Alcohols contain the hydroxyl group, OH. Ethanol is the most important one. It's the alcohol in drinks, but also a biofuel. Carboxylic acids contain the carboxyl group, COOH. Ethanoic acid is the one in vinegar. Polymerization is another key area. Addition polymerization involves alkene monomers joining together. The double bond opens up and the monomers link in a chain. Condensation polymerization involves monomers with two functional groups reacting together, releasing a small molecule, usually water, as a byproduct. Nylon and polyesters are condensation polymers. Now let's turn to the atmosphere and climate change. And this is where chemistry connects directly to the biggest challenge facing our planet. The early atmosphere, around 4.6 billion years ago, was mainly carbon dioxide, water vapor, and nitrogen released by volcanic activity. There was no free oxygen. As plants evolved and photosynthesis began, carbon dioxide levels fell and oxygen levels rose. The oceans also absorbed huge amounts of carbon dioxide. Today's atmosphere is approximately 78% nitrogen, 21% oxygen, and about 1% argon, with just 0.04% carbon dioxide. The greenhouse effect is a natural process, and this is a common misconception worth flagging. Without greenhouse gases, the Earth would be about 33 degrees colder and largely uninhabitable. Greenhouse gases, including carbon dioxide, methane, water vapor, and nitrous oxide, absorb infrared radiation emitted by the Earth's surface and re-emit it in all directions, including back towards Earth. The problem is the enhanced greenhouse effect. Human activities are increasing the concentration of greenhouse gases beyond natural levels. Burning fossil fuels releases carbon dioxide. Agriculture produces methane from livestock and nitrous oxide from fertilizers. Deforestation removes trees that would otherwise absorb carbon dioxide. Atmospheric pollutants are a separate but related issue. Carbon monoxide is produced by incomplete combustion and is toxic because it binds to hemoglobin. Sulfur dioxide comes from burning sulfur-containing fuels and causes acid rain. Nitrogen oxides form at high temperatures when nitrogen and oxygen in air react and also contribute to acid rain and smog. Particulates, tiny solid particles, are produced by incomplete combustion and are harmful to respiratory health. Finally, let's briefly cover life cycle assessment, or LCA. An LCA evaluates the environmental impact of a product across its entire life, from extracting raw materials, through manufacturing and use, to disposal. Examiners often give you LCA data and ask you to compare two products. Always use the data provided, identify which stage has the greatest impact, and make a justified conclusion. Right, let's talk exam technique, because knowing the chemistry is only half the battle. First, command words. When a question says explain, you must say why something happens, not just describe it. Use the word because to force yourself to link cause and effect. For example, the rate increases because the higher temperature gives more particles sufficient activation energy, leading to more frequent successful collisions. That's an explain answer. The rate increases on its own is a describe answer and will not earn full marks. Second, the most common mistake in this topic, confusing equilibrium with a static condition. Equilibrium is dynamic. Both the forward and reverse reactions are still happening, but at equal rates. Never write that a reaction stops at equilibrium. Third, don't confuse the greenhouse effect with the ozone hole. They are completely different phenomena. The greenhouse effect involves infrared radiation being trapped by greenhouse gases in the troposphere. The ozone hole involves ultraviolet radiation and the destruction of ozone in the stratosphere by CFCs. Mixing these up is a guaranteed mark loser. Fourth, when answering questions about the Haber process, always address both rate and yield when explaining why a particular temperature or pressure is chosen. A one-sided answer, high temperature increases rate, will only get one mark. You need to add, but decreases yield because the forward reaction is exothermic, so a compromise temperature of 450 degrees Celsius is used. Fifth, for organic chemistry questions, practice drawing the first four members of each homologous series. Examiners frequently ask you to draw structural formulae, and errors in bond drawing cost marks. Remember, carbon always forms four bonds. Time for the quiz. I'll ask the question, pause the podcast, say your answer out loud, then press play to hear the answer. Question one, what are the three conditions used in the Haber process? Answer, 450 degrees Celsius, 200 atmospheres, pressure, iron catalyst. Question two, what is the general formula for alkenes? Answer, CnH2n. Question 3. Why is aluminium extracted by electrolysis rather than reduction with carbon? Answer, because aluminium is more reactive than carbon, so carbon cannot reduce aluminium oxide. Question 4. Name two greenhouse gases other than carbon dioxide? Answer, Methane and water vapor, or nitrous oxide? Question 5. What does a life cycle assessment evaluate? Answer: the environmental impact of a product across its entire life, from raw material extraction to disposal. How did you do? If you stumbled on any of those, go back and reread that section of your notes before your next revision session. Let's wrap up with the 5 things you absolutely must take into your exam. 1. Metal extraction method depends on reactivity, electrolysis for metals above carbon, reduction with carbon for metals below. 2. The Haber process uses 450 degrees Celsius and 200 atmospheres as compromise conditions, balancing rate against yield. The iron catalyst only affects rate, not yield. 3. Alkanes are saturated, alkenes are unsaturated with a carbon-carbon double bond. Alkenes decolorize bromine water. 4. The greenhouse effect is natural. It's the enhanced greenhouse effect caused by human activity that drives climate change. Don't confuse it with the ozone hole. 5. In exam answers, always use command words correctly. Explain means give a reason using because. Show you're working in calculations and always include units. You've got this. Topic C6 is one of the most real-world relevant topics in the whole specification. And that means it's actually interesting to revise. Keep going, stay consistent, and good luck in your exam. See you next time.